You are listening to Reverend Dr. Rob White from the AULC Ministries. You can find us on Roku, Amazon Fire TV, TuneIn Radio and TalkShoe. Be sure to visit www.aulc.us for more free resources.
Hello and welcome to AULC Ministries. I'm Dr. Rob White here with this week's message. Our scripture lesson this week is from Matthew 22, verses 15 to 22. Then the Pharisees went and plotted how to trap him by what he said. They sent their disciples to him with the Herodians. "Teacher," they said, "we know that you are truthful and teach truthfully the way of God. You defer to no one, or you don't show partiality. Tell us, therefore, what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But perceiving their malice, Jesus said, "Why are you testing me, hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." So they brought him a denarius. "Whose image and inscription is this?" he asked them. "Caesar's," they said to him. Then he said to them, "Therefore give back to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, so they left him and went away. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Now today, many people like to write in diaries or journals. Some do it to keep track of what they do every day, and they may also record the daily temperature and weather conditions. Some people take a journal with them when they travel, and they jot down where they went and what they saw. Others record their thoughts and feelings in a journal, and the journal may begin to feel more like a friend. Keeping a journal or a diary is a wonderful way to express yourself and can help you become more creative. You may even feel like writing stories and poems in your journal. Now, one of the best ways to use a journal is to keep track of the things for which you are thankful. In the Bible, Jesus says, "Give therefore to the emperor the things which are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." Now, let's think about this for a second. What things are God's? What would that be? Well, of course, everything. God created everything. The colorful sunsets, the sunshine, the raindrops, ladybugs, eagles, forests, mountains, friends, bananas, tomatoes, roses, everything. The way to honor God is to give back to God what He's given to us. And the way to do that is to let Him know that we are thankful for the gifts that He's given us. So every day in a journal, list two or three things for which you are thankful for. If you aren't in the habit of writing in a journal, perhaps you could start one. Every day you'll find many things for which to give thanks, and you will be giving to God the things that are God's. And don't be surprised if you feel more happy and blessed after doing this. Now, our story today starts with these words. Then the Pharisees went and took counsel how they might entrap him in his talk. They've been plotting against him for some time now, and they've even tried twice to trip him up, but they failed. And then we find them trying again. But they don't send out their best team doing this. It wasn't easy, like they thought it would be, to catch Jesus with an easy touch. They know better than that now. It was that they were looking for a way to kind of knock him off his pedestal without risking their reputations. Jesus had made them look bad twice, and they're tired of walking around with egg on their faces. So the Pharisees, they turned to their disciples, young men in training, young men with no reputations to protect, young men with nothing to lose. The Pharisees designed a trap question and trained these young men on how to use it against Jesus. But first, they trained the young men to set Jesus up. Before they sprang the trap question on Jesus, they were to say this: "Teacher, we know that you are honest and teach the way of God in truth." Now, of course, they didn't believe that. This was just a way of buttering Jesus up, getting him to lower his guard, and it was just a way of distracting him so that they could blindside him with the question. Once they had flattered Jesus, they were to say this: "Tell us, therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" Now, the beauty of this question was that it offered Jesus only two choices for an answer. Yes or no? If Jesus said yes, he would offend the people who hated Caesar's tax, and if he said no, the Roman soldiers could arrest him for sedition. Either way, Jesus would lose and the Pharisees would win. And if somehow Jesus found a way out of this trap, it would be the young men who would be humiliated instead of the Pharisees. But nobody expected Jesus to escape. They were sure they had him this time. But Jesus didn't say yes, and he didn't say no. He said, "Why do you test me, you hypocrites?" That brought everything out in the open, didn't it? Jesus knew what they were trying to do, and he made sure that everyone else knew it too. "Why do you test me, you hypocrites?" But that wasn't enough to save Jesus. If Jesus had said nothing more, he'd look as if he was simply trying to dodge the question. So he says, "Show me the tax money." And they brought him out a denarius. Now, a denarius was a significant coin of the day. It was amount of wages for one day, worth more than $100 in today's money. But it was significant in other ways, too, because the denarius bore Caesar's image, and it was inscribed on it, "Tiberius Caesar, August, son of the divine Augustus, the high priest." Jews found both the image of Caesar and the inscription to be offensive. And for one thing, the Ten Commandments forbid graven images, so they hated the image of Caesar on the coin. For another thing, Jews didn't believe that Caesar was divine, so they didn't accept Caesar as a god. But this is significant. The disciples of this super religious Pharisees brought Jesus a denarius. Now, where did they get this denarius? Well, one of them must have had it in his pocket. So where were they? They were in the temple. Why did they bring a graven image into the temple? They brought it into the temple because they were used to carrying these coins in their pockets, that they had given it no extra thought. Jesus had called them hypocrites, and the fact that they could produce one of these offensive coins proved Jesus' point. It proved that they cared more about money than about God. So Jesus then asked, "Whose is this image and inscription?" And they answered, "Well, Caesar's." So Jesus said, "Give therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." Give therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Now, this word that Jesus used really means give back. Jesus really said, "Give back to Caesar the things that are Caesar's." This coin bears Caesar's image. It bears his inscription. It was minted in his mint. It circulates at his pleasure, and he wants it back. So, give it to him. Give it back. But then Jesus said, "Give back to God the things that are God's." So what is it that belongs to God? Better question would be, what does not belong to God? The cattle on 1,000 hills belong to God. The hills belong to God. The grass that feeds the cattle belongs to God. The rain that makes the grass grow belongs to God. The sun that warms the soil belongs to God. Apart from God, all would die. Everything depends on God. And so everything belongs to God. But more to the point, we belong to God. Just as the coin bore Caesar's image, we bear God's image. That is one of the first things that the Bible tells us. It says in Genesis 1:27, God created man in his own image. In God's image, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So, if it's appropriate to give back to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, namely a coin that bears his image, so it's also appropriate to give back to God what belongs to God. That's namely ourselves. God created us in his image. We bear God's likeness. God wants us to be his people, so let us give ourselves back to God. Let us give God what belongs to him. So what does that mean? What would it look like if we were to give ourselves back to God? Let me first tell you what it wouldn't look like. A man named Wilbur Ries wrote a tongue-in-cheek prayer for half-hearted Christians. Christians who are willing to give God only a little bit of themselves. Listen to this half-hearted prayer. He prays, "I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. Not enough to explode my soul or to disturb my sleep, but just enough to equal a cup of warm milk or a snooze in the sunshine. I don't want enough of God to make me love a black man or to pick beets with a migrant. I want ecstasy, not transformation. I want the warmth of the womb, not a new birth. I want a pound of the eternal in a paper sack. I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. But if God despises half-hearted commitment, God appreciates hot and he understands cold, but he spews lukewarm out of his mouth, like what we see in Revelation 3:16. We can understand that. I like hot coffee. I like hot tea. I like iced tea. But I wouldn't want a cup of tea that's been sitting on the counter for an hour, or a cup of coffee that's been sitting on an hour for a cup on the counter for an hour. A cup of lukewarm coffee or tea, because nobody likes lukewarm. God doesn't like lukewarm. God likes hot. God wants us to love him. God wants us to give our best to him. What would that look like? What would it look like if we were to give our best to God? The answer is, it depends. It depends on who God calls us to be and what God calls us to do. Take the man and the woman who gave themselves back to God. They have served in 40 years in missionary, as missionaries in Haiti, because that's where God called them. Now, personally, I wouldn't want to live in Haiti, but they call it home. That's what giving themselves back to God looked like for them. But you don't have to be a missionary, unless that's what God calls you to do. Take the woman who gave herself back to God. She devoted herself to raising her own children as God's children. She devoted herself to teaching other people's children about God. She taught Sunday school for years. She worked with other children's programs. She devoted herself to a children's ministry. That's what God called her to do. That's what giving herself back to God looked like for her. June Carter Cash gave herself back to God. She devoted herself to her husband, Johnny Cash. She helped him through the years of drug abuse, and Johnny said, if she found my pills, she flushed them down the toilet, and find them she did, because she searched for them relentlessly. She was living out her commitment to marriage. She was living out her commitment to God. That's what giving herself back to God looked like for June Carter Cash. I know a man who gave himself back to God. He devotes himself to taking care of his family and his church. To my knowledge, he's never done anything that you would call great. But his greatness lies in his continuing faithfulness year by year to whatever he needs to be done. He's been generous. He's been generous, with his financial support. He's held various church offices. That's what giving himself back to God looked like for him. An old gospel song says, I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be. That's what it looks like to give yourself back to God. It means letting God set the agenda for your life. So let me close by asking you to think about this question. What would your life look like if you were to give yourself back to God? What would you do differently? I know many of you have already given yourselves back to God, but there's a sense in which we need to do that daily. The world is a big magnet, tries to pull us away from God, and we need to start each morning by giving ourselves back to God. Alcoholics know how to do that. They know that their struggle is never over. They know that they can't commit themselves to just being sober for the next year. They simply commit themselves to sobriety for the day, or perhaps the next hour, or even the next 5 minutes. We need to adopt that attitude in our life of faith. We need to give ourselves back to God every day, every hour. So think about this week. What would it look like if you were to give yourself back to God? What would you do differently? What would you have to change? And you figure that out, let me ask you to do it. Give yourself back to God this week. Give yourself back to God every morning. Try to be faithful to God every day. And if you do that, God will bless you and God will make you a blessing for others. Try it out and see. That's our Lord's message for this Lord's Day, and I hope you got a blessing out of it. So go out this week, be a blessing, and be blessed, because the more you're a blessing, the more you will be blessed. Thank you all for watching, and I look forward to seeing you all next week. Thank you.